I have Nightfur here in the studio. Nightfur is my guest today on Is Good on KillRadio.org. We're going to start by playing a track from a CD that they brought in. And then, as you already suspected, we'll get into some interview and some live stuff. This is Nightfur on Is Good, KillRadio.org.
Sat on the couch in the living room with her. That eyeshadow she put on to look good for me. Yeah, for me. I don't need any presents this year.
Up, you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Nightfur. Guys, how's it going?
Good.
Pretty good. Hello.
Thanks.
All right, so why don't we start with the basics. Who are you and what do you play? And we'll just go around the room.
My name is Jason. I play guitar and sing.
My name is Matt and I play drums.
I'm Scott. I play bass.
And another question I like to ask at the beginning of each show is sort of the dynamic of the band. Like, is this a Jason and his band, or is this a collaborative?
It's very collaborative, yeah. It's definitely not a solo project. These guys, we all work together to construct the songs and, you know, try to get them in the best shape they can be.
Jason brings us all the lyrics, I think, solely.
So, Jason, you do most of the writing, and then the instrumentation
usually
comes after that?
Usually I'll bring in kind of like the songs in a rough form, where I kind of have some verses and choruses planned out, and then we build on it from there.
Okay, so why don't we jump right into a live song? What are you going to play for us first?
This song's called Circles.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Nightfur, whenever you're ready.
Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you.
looking at a circle. I see it in the sky. Place was dark, but now you're here. All my traveling has led me home. All my traveling has led me home. I'm looking at two circles. Amazing are your two eyes. Now I understand why I love you. Clearly all this haze will go away. All this haze will go away.
Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Nightfur. You can check out myspace.com/Nightfur. It's interesting, we were talking before about, you know, whether this was sort of a one man's project with other band members or if this was completely collaborative. And like hearing that song, there's no way this would work as a solo act. Like it's almost like the songs are written to include, you know, more than one vocal and more than one guitar.
Yeah, a lot of it's about the energy that us three individuals create as opposed to just one, you know. So it's it's creative process.
How did the band start, like in the first place? Who was the first one to set out, you know, I wanna do a band?
Matt on drums was actually really encouraging. I have been writing music for a while and playing in various music projects, and
Jason and I were actually in another rock band playing together. Jason was playing bass and I was playing drums. And he had been telling me he had been writing his own music for a while, and he kind of gave me a CD of some of his own stuff that he had recorded, just kind of more acoustic, himself and a guitar. And
you were like, this is awful, you need me.
And I was like, I really liked where he was going, and I liked a lot of the songs, what they were about, and the feeling. So I was like, you know, whenever you want to get together, I'd be down to work on that project with you too. So we, we started just like the two of us. I'd go to his house, and then I've been playing with Scott also in previous bands for years and years. And Scott's a very talented guitar player as well as bass. So he has his own band as well. But we kind of brought him in, and it's kind of like the dream team where I'm like kind of the common denominator. So it's really cool because I really respect both these guys a lot, and. It's cool to be playing in a band with Scott again, because for years we have been in and out of bands together, and for the last 3 years we've been roommates but not playing together. Now we're back playing together, so it's really cool.
So are you all still working in other bands, or have you settled into Nightfur?
Scott has another band.
Yeah, I'm still playing.
Yeah, Scott plays in a band called 56 Miles, the next 56 nice. Miles. The next 56 and, miles. But as far as Night Fur goes, I'm pretty much focusing all my musical energy on this project right now, just to kind of give it all I can, you know.
And how long has Night Fur been around as this unit?
Well, we just played our first show in January, like late January this year, so we're pretty new.
Started playing a couple months before.
Yeah, we kind of started forming, winter 2006 probably. Yeah.
So, what was it for you, Jason? What was the first thing that got you into music that made you decide to pick up a guitar?
I don't know. I mean, just like a lot of people, I've always just loved music. You know, just grew up listening to records and always been a huge classic rock fan, even though, stuff before my generation. I don't know. I like all kinds of stuff. And just, it's a good release, you know, to be able to write music and... kind of like a good therapy.
What was your first guitar?
My first guitar was it was a really old Martin acoustic that my dad found in an old attic when he was a child. He like found it in one of his neighbor's homes, like in the attic. I guess they were trying to get rid of some junk, and he got this. He found this amazing vintage Martin guitar, and like so that was always kicking around the house, and. I would play that as a kid, and whenever I go back home to visit, I still play it. So that was the first one.
It's funny how many guitars, like, in people who are in bands, like, their first guitar just kind of falls out of the sky, you know? Like, they find it in the trash, or, like,
yeah,
you know.
It's a sign, right?
Yeah, exactly. And tell me about the drums as well. Like, how did it start off with just banging on pots and pans in the kitchen, or?
No, it's funny because I grew up, my dad also plays acoustic guitar, classical, and I would play guitar growing up, but it wasn't until I was like at the end of high school, some friends were starting a band, and one of my friends was like, I'm going to play drums, you need to learn bass. I'm like, I don't want to play bass, I want to play drums. So I kind of kicked him off and made him learn bass. So, because I just always like had it in me. I was always tapping. I'm very like ADD and
so it sort of keeps you centered, yeah. Being able to keep the beat of the song.
Yeah. So I naturally was leaning toward drums all along, and I find it more natural than playing guitar, I think. So
did you always end up playing drums in rock bands?
For the most part, I mean, the first band Scott and I were in was a ska band. It was like a punk band that went kind of punk ska. And then, let's see, it's just been like rock bands from then on, you know, so, and I've simplified the kit considerably, I think, since I started playing. So, just getting down to like the raw.
And that's a vintage Pearl, right?
Yeah, I think this is from the 60s, this kit.
So. You used to have like a rack with 35 drums on it.
No, I'm not.
That's not really our style.
35.
And Scott, what about you? What went wrong in your life that made you want to get involved in music?
I had a couple of friends, and we were talking about I think it was like a slumber party in ninth grade or something, and we were like, hey, let's start a band. I have a guitar because I had started taking lessons a little while ago and bought some generic brand electric. I don't even remember the brand of it, but so yeah, that's how it started. Garage punk, and started playing with this guy Matt, and kind of. Done all sorts of things from.
I remember the first time I saw Scott playing guitar on stage. I was in a little punk band, and we went and saw his band. They were called Mindframe, and I was like
the Roxy or something.
It was like one of these little backyard parties up in Santa Cruz Valley. We used to play a lot of these
those
dirt parties, and Scott was just like tearing it up. I think how old were you? Like 15 or something?
Yes, probably.
And I was like, that guy's good. I want to play in a band with him.
Are you guys all from Los Angeles area?
Scott and I grew up in the Santa Clarita Valley.
I grew up in the D.C. area. So, yeah, I'm kind of a transplant.
Easterner.
Yeah. Why don't we listen to another track from the CD that you brought in, and then we'll go back to do some live stuff.
All right. I think track two should be okay.
All right. Let's give track two a shot. We're not sure what's on this CD. We know it's Night Fur. That's good enough.
Hopefully.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Judy
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Nightfur. Oh, no, it isn't. So, Jason, you mentioned that you grew up listening to a lot of classic rock.
Yeah.
And this is, whatever the term is supposed to mean, what a lot of people would call indie rock.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was wondering, like, what do you, like, and anybody can contribute to this, like, what do you see, what is it that your band is doing, is contributing to the idea of independent rock music? How is it different from classic rock just in a modern setting?
Well, I don't really know. it's a, I mean, I think it just is what it is. I mean, a lot of our influences are coming from classic rock sources, just like a lot of indie rock bands. I mean, the whole term indie rock is very, very general anyway. You know, it kind of confuses me even when I try to, like, think about what that is. But,
Yeah, and it has so little meaning now because you can be, like, signed to a label and...
And they still call it indie because it has a certain type of sound.
Right.
But, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's like...
Well, do you, just as a band, do you guys put thought into what the music is going to sound like in terms of the people who are going to be compartmentalizing it and stacking it in the stores? Or do you just sort of do your thing and hope that it lands in the right place?
Not really. I mean, we just kind of... We try to stay away from overanalyzing it too much because, obviously, I guess you got to... If we want it to be a rock band, we try to keep it sort of rock-oriented. But we try not to think... I mean, it's impossible to try to analyze, like, what listeners are going, like, to categorize it as. Yeah, because, you know, it's just got to be what it is. You know, you can't really, like, force it into a box in any way. You just have to go with how it comes out. So that's what we try to do, you know.
Yeah.
All right, well, you guys ready to jump into a live song?
Sure.
Yeah.
What are you going to play for us now?
The song's called No Words.
No Words.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Nightfur.
Is your love bleeding again? No matter how far away, there with you in a dream. No words we will exchange. No looking back again. Montana could not keep you in its arms. No matter how sheltered you think you are, you can feel pain. No words, no words, no words can hold you down. Tonight, when you turn down your lights, who will you be thinking of? No words we will exchange. No looking back again.
Listening is good on killradio.org. My guest is Nightfur. That shaker is awesome. I saw it, like, when you guys came in, you're loading in all your stuff. I'm like, oh, and they brought an avocado. That's cool. I guess they'll eat an avocado during the show.
We like avocados.
The fruit shakers are the best.
Awesome. So I guess this question is directed more to Jason, just because you it sounds like you start the songs off with the writing. Describe, if you can, you know, what you're writing about. Are there certain themes that you keep coming back to?
Girls.
Is it mostly girls?
No, for this particular group, the set list we were building and the album we're currently working on, a full-length album titled She Lives, and one of the uniting themes is a spirit of the woman and that kind of thing. So like a lot of these songs have to do with that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah. Do you tend
to all of them?
Do you tend to write in more, you know, abstract metaphorical terms, or is it more like this is the story about someone that I met the other day, like more direct?
Some of them are kind of personal, but I try to kind of step away from that and try to, like our song called Judy, it's like a third person, like a narrative, you know. It's totally fictional. I mean, sure, you pull some stuff from real life, but I try to experiment, you know, putting myself in different bodies or something, you know.
And the way that you're writing now, is that the result of an evolution of learning how to write songs, or did when you first started writing songs, were you writing in this way?
I guess I always kind of like I've had like a bunch of different types of bands, but like this band is like pretty true to like when I am just alone playing and writing songs, you know, through college or like, you know, when I was even younger than that. Like this is kind of like how it just kind of channels out, you know, these kind of songs. So
do you ever you know, when Jason comes in with a song and the rest of you look at it, do you have to veto it sometimes or say, you know, I'm not sure this is a good song, but I'm not sure it's a night for a song? Like, how do you guys collaborate on whether or not a song is actually going to be recorded?
Generally, I tend to like most of his songs. I mean, there's a few that I'm like, that we might need to work on that a little bit. Or, you know, sometimes I guess Scott and I will go, another song about a girl, huh? You know, but for the most part, we like a lot of the songs, and each of them, you know, is different enough that, you know, you can like the subtleties of the differences, and they're each different stories. You know, sometimes you got to ask Jason, you know, what's this one about? You know, I don't really get it the first read, and he has to explain. But I tend to like most of the songs he brings.
Do the songs change a lot as they come in, like from the moment that they come in? And then, I don't know, Scott, like, do you maybe come in and say, oh, well, what if I did this part with the guitar and we moved the lyric around to do this? Or
yeah, we do a little bit of that. More, not so much moving lyrics around, but moving parts around.
Yeah, it's definitely like a big part of the process is the arrangement process. Like
ridges and stuff.
I bring in stuff, it's like it's real, usually pretty raw, you know. And we'll work out like guitar hooks and stuff together and tweak things and... I mean, the song's not fully written until everybody has sort of agreed on it and put in their input.
Yeah, we're all kind of stubborn, I guess you could say, like that.
And do you guys have, like, you brought in a CDR of some tracks you've recorded. Do you have an album that's available or an EP that people can buy yet?
Or
that's
just working on it? We're hoping to release that this summer.
It's something we recorded ourselves, and Jason's been... you know, doing some mixing and stuff on his own. So what do we have, about half of it done?
Oh no, we're pretty there's about 10 tracks done, which you're hearing some of them right now.
Yeah, actually, why don't we go to that? We'll listen to another one. And
let's do maybe track 4.
Maybe track 4 it is. We know it's Night Fur, we know that much. Your listen is good on killradio.org. Stick around, this is Night Fur.
Somewhere in all my heart, she
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org with my guest, Nightfur. Hey, what does Nightfur mean? Anyway, what's the band name mean?
I don't know. What do you think it means?
killing animals in the dark.
No, there's not really any killing in it, but...
Yeah. You asked.
It's a bit of a mystery.
It could be if you want it to be.
I don't know. Different, you know. I think it's funny because a lot of band names, that seems to be... That's why I try not to ask unless it's an unusual name. This is kind of an unusual name, but a lot of times band names are just... It just sounded cool. Like, yeah, it came up out of nowhere, and that became the name of the band.
Yeah, it kind of has a... I don't know. It has a few different meanings.
Didn't this one come to you in a dream?
or from a spaceship?
Wasn't it, like, tattooed on your arm when you woke up?
You met David Blaine, and he had the he made your shirt catch on fire, and under it was a tattoo. It said Night Fur.
It was on the tarot card. The Ouija board spelled it out.
Let's talk a little bit about playing live before we go into a live song. What was the first time you guys went up on a stage in L.A.? I'm assuming it was in L.A. As Night Fur. What was that experience like for you?
Actually, it was a pretty good experience. We played this little Irish pub on the west side called Brennan's, and it was kind of like a warm-up for us, and I was like very surprised. It went really well, you know, thinking usually like it's a little shaky, like a first gig with a new band, new material, but it went pretty well, so it was nice. And we played a few times in Silver Lake, and we're just continuing to do gigs here and there. We've got one at El Cid in Silver Lake on May 29th with Kind Hearts and Coronets. And another great Los Angeles band, The Caribou Nightlife.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yes, I know them well. They were here recently.
Your old friends.
Yes. is that an important part of a good show, is playing with people, with other, you know, musicians that you know
definitely,
are good, that you can trust?
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we've been very fortunate for our past few shows. We've gotten to play with bands that I feel are really great and I actually enjoy myself, you know. So I think it's better for the whole night if all the bands are into each other's music. Everyone kind of sticks around, has fun, and it's more of like a friendly, almost party environment, as opposed to it being more cold and sterile like some LA gigs can be.
Yeah, I was about
nothing worse than playing with, you know, other bands that, you know, you kind of don't really relate to, and their crowd is kind of waiting for you to get off the stage. Mm-hmm.
It's much better with more of everything has more of a camaraderie. That's more desirable than it being like a competition.
Do you find that you get that more in certain kinds of venues than in others? Like what you're describing sounds very sort of Sunset Strippy to me.
Totally.
About, you know, like not.
I mean, we've all done that many times.
Oh yeah,
we're
I try
over
to
it.
Stay away from that kind of stuff because it's just it seems sort of anti, I don't know, anti productive. You know, it's not really. I think people play music to exchange something with the audience, you know, and it's not like, you know, everybody let's race and try to look badass and get a record deal and all that. I mean, I think it's more, it should be more of a fun thing. Like when you're playing in bands in a small town somewhere, like, you know, like my hometown, it's just, you do it for fun, you know? And that's how it should always be.
It just gets hard in L.A. Everyone gets caught up in that, you know?
Do you see yourselves as more of a live band, like a band that gigs all the time and that builds their audience from being out there, than as opposed to recording artists?
I think we're a nice mix of both. I'd like to see us as more of a band that could just hit the road, and, you know, once we get the CD wrapped up, and you know, just play a bunch of shows. But unfortunately, it's not really working out right now where we can, you know. We have the jobs and everything, but we'll be on the road soon.
Yeah, well, it's true that gigging is incredibly time-consuming. Mm-hmm. I think people forget that.
And Jason's taking to booking all the shows himself, too. So.
Well, so you're sort of like your own managers, though, huh? I mean, you have to find the gigs and put them together. I mean, you don't have somebody, you're not signed with a label, there's no one out there, like pushing the band.
It's a little bit of both. I mean, you know, we do some footwork, but a lot of times we'll be... You know, we'll just get emails or something like, you know, asking to play a gig or invited from another band. Or it's different every time, really, you know.
Well, cool. Let's jump into a live song then. What are you going to play for us?
This song, it's a new song called Let It All Go. So played it a couple times, and we'll see how it goes.
All right, good luck. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Night Fur.
Life will always change when you don't want it to. Oh, life will always change without you. Run at full speed, you'll run out of steam. Oh, it will always catch up to you. Can you find someone who will bear this burden with you? Will she be the one who will lie in the grave with you? Oh, 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 I'm going up to Portland, the wind in my hair, troubles blowing back behind me, anywhere but here. I'm running up to Portland and I'm not coming back. Oh, lady, I'm living in a city of trees with you. Oh, lady, I'm leaving the city of dreams without you. Sometimes you lose the things that mean the most. Oh, how it hurts to watch them go. A wedding can be a funeral, depends on how you look at it. Oh, then, no turning back now. Can you find someone who will bear this burden? Should be the one who will lie in the grave with you. Oh, 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 I'm going up to Portland, the wind in my hair, troubles blowing back behind me, anywhere but here. I'm running up to Portland and I'm not coming back to you. City of trees with you. Oh, lady, I'm leaving the city of dreams without you.
That was fantastic. That was really, really great. So so that's one of your newer songs, right?
Yeah, we just put that together like last night.
Fantastic. So I get the first Kill Radio
that's
exclusive.
The debut on that one.
Fantastic.
It was just for Kill Radio.
Oh, I appreciate that. You can never play it again. The song is dead to me now.
You guys aren't going to sell that to a corporation.
Matt, is there anything that you do as a drummer in this band that you think is different from other bands that you've been in? Something, you know, a style of drumming that's particularly suited for Nightfur?
Well, in this band, I think
I asked because you seemed very present in that last song. The drums were a big part of that song, I thought.
Yeah. You know, I try and have fun with all the songs. The thing is, with this band, I think I'm giving the songs more what they require. Like, I'm really trying to be kind of like, take myself out of the like, you know, the process and try and just figure out what the song needs to be complete, as opposed to like, you know, let me show off like what I can do here on this song, you know, like, let me flex my skills. It's more of a
going back to what you asked earlier about some of the process, that a little bit of thought does go into us trying to work from a minimalistic point of view, you know, like try to break down the songs. What's the simplest way we can play this song, get rid of all the excess? And that can be a little challenging sometimes, you know, but I think it always, especially live, it comes off. It helps a little bit live, you know, just to be giving it in its most simple form usually.
What do you guys want your audience to come away with from a live show? I mean, is it just about the music and having a good time, or do you want them to come away like, oh, the lyric really meant something to me, I'm going to go buy their album or something?
If it was up to me, like, I want to play like proms and stuff, you know? Like, I want to bring that back, like where people slow dance, but that's
awesome.
That's not really, I guess, what we're sounding like, but
it's
not really hip to be like a prom band.
Everybody should just slow dance to this in my head, but like, who's going to slow dance to like a, you know?
There's not enough distortion guitar in slow dancing songs.
Yeah,
the Fish Under the Sea dance.
Yeah, man, like all that romanticism. I want to bring that's where it's at. The sort of like, there's something like very surreal about nostalgia to me for some reason. You know, when you look at like old images from like the 50s or early 60s. It's not creepy. It's just, I don't know, we kind of try to go for that, like, tone-wise, I think.
Yeah, it seems sort of like, ambiguous. I mean, talking about minimalism again, it seems like at that time there was, like, a limitation of, like, you know, what people
had to work
with, you know what I mean? Like, people didn't have, you know, like, 80 filters on, like, a guitar garage band or whatever. You know, people just had a... you know, a few instruments lying around. They're trying to make the best music they could with what they had lying around. So even starting the process with, like, you know, a limitation of means, you know, adds to, like, something being, I think, richer in, you know, meaning, I think, for me it always does.
So do you guys find, like, you put together a lot of songs that maybe are extremely textured and then peel away some of those layers?
Always peeling away layers. Jason also, you know, plays drums, and he'll like, we'll go back and forth, and a lot of times, like, the drums will get simpler and simpler, and sometimes we'll find the best solutions if I just drop out completely in parts.
Yeah, we do, and put some, you know, thought into, like, yeah, building the dynamics. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, before we run out of time, I want to make sure I get at least one more live song out of you, so why don't we go into another live song, or do you want to do a track from the CD first?
Let's do CD track 3.
All right, let you guys... tune up and catch your breath. Here's another track from the CD that Nightfur brought in. These are hopefully forthcoming on the album. When did you say that was coming out?
It should be out this summer.
Do you have a title for the album yet?
Oh, yeah. It's tentatively titled She Lives.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Nightfur. We'll be right back. And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Night Fur. We're going to get one more live song for them and call it a day. What are you going to play for us?
We're going to play one of the only acoustic songs we play in our live set. It's called Broken God's Eye.
Whenever you're ready. Broken God's eye hanging on the wall, faded memory heavy on the chest. Have a funeral for a lost friend. Work hard to dig the grave before jumping in. Broken God's eye, built with delicate hands, colorful and simple, made from twig and yarn. Have a funeral for a lost world. Throw it from the window, it'll fly away. Nice. I'm a little stunned. That was that was really, really well done.
Thank you. Nice.
My guest today has been Night Fur. Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Again,
yeah, thanks,
we'll
John.
Be performing pretty soon. What is it?
May 29th at El Cid with Kind Hearts and Coronets, one of the best bands in L.A.
All right. And it looks like you guys are also going to be on
Caribou Nightlife, another one of the best bands in L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah, Caribou Nightlife.
And you guys are going to be on the radio soon, too, as well. I'm not jealous. It's fine. KXLU on May 28th.
Yeah, we're doing an hour-long live set on KXLU on May 28th,
which is
right before the
Day.
El Cid show. So tune in.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right, guys. Why don't we leave with one more track from the CD?
Yeah. Awesome. Track 5.
All right. There we go. And check out myspace.com/nightfur. And you have nightfur.com? Is that a...
Yeah, nightfur.com, and we're on MySpace.
All right. See.